Hi, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin.
And I'm Pastor Ryan.
And we're glad you're able to join us.
We look forward to diving into this past Sunday's sermon and other things that are going on in our world. We hope that you enjoy your time with us this week. Happy Tuesday, Kevin.
And happy Tuesday back to you as well, Pastor Ryan. How are you?
I am doing well.
That's good to hear.
Yes.
Good job, Sunday.
Thank you
for preaching a strong message based in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Feeding the soul.
That was a tough one for me. And I was sharing with you earlier and didn't really get into it on Sunday. This is a fairly new topic for me, spiritual warfare and the demonic and all of that. And I guess jumping in here, a little bit of my background, I grew up in a more conservative church and the spiritual wasn't really talked about a lot. For the most part, it boiled down to demons or Satan or what tempt you, and the Holy Spirit is what convicts you.
Right.
And that was kind of the extent of
demons bad, angels, right. Holy Spirit good.
That's right.
Let's move on.
Let's move on. Yeah. And they're at war, but we're just going to kind of move on through life.
Yeah, yeah.
And there wasn't really an understanding or kind of a practical viewing of what the actual interactions between us and the spiritual world is and how that all plays together. So for me, it's kind of over the last 5 or 6 years, I've come to kind of learn and grow and understand it a bit more. And then this past week, for me, I was extremely blessed in the study, just kind of diving in and, picking up on things that I've learned over the past few years and seeing them even more in scripture and being able to actually write things out almost like systematically of, from the start of we live in a spiritual reality all the way through to where we're at now in our relationship with the spiritual world.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting too. You picked up right away the idea that we have a body inside our spirit, and so the emphasis is that we are spiritual beings before we are physical,
right?
And you used a lot of great scriptures to kind of back that whole thing up, and how Jesus talked about it as well,
right?
Now, that was really good because the culture, I think. Like, how much does culture, Western culture, play into a mindset that's pragmatic?
Right.
It's what I see, is what I feel.
Definitely.
What's real?
Right.
Come on, what's real?
Right.
Instead of maybe more of cultures where the spirit realm is daily. It's there. Like I think of even like in our situation here in Canada, I've got some great native friends who love Jesus, but they know from their background that the Great Spirit and even the sweat lodges, the smudgings, all that stuff, they're very connected to a spiritual worldview, whereas ours, maybe not so much.
Right. I think you look at more than like native cultures, even in Africa and South America, and you see much more of that understanding that there is a spiritual realm. There is that spirituality. But here in the West, we've kind of moved from that pre-modern to modern to post-modern reality of, Friedrich Nietzsche saying, God is dead, to now there is no God. It is what we see.
Yeah.
And there's no way of knowing reality, really. Truth is whatever you make it. And so we are kind of left in this spot of what you see is what you get. And that I think is definitely it can bleed into your life as a believer, where you know that God is real, you trust in Jesus, but you miss that spiritual aspect of it to where it's, almost seeing the spiritual as the future, not the present, where we're humans, we're in bodies now, and one day we'll be with God as spirit. And one day, we'll be a spiritual being, but we can, I think, almost miss that. No, that plays into our everyday life now.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that for sure. I also wonder too, like you mentioned Hollywood a few times in your message. And I think Hollywood kind of picks up on cues, right? That's how they make their money. They kind of see trends and they kind of, and then they make a movie or they make a TV series or that kind of thing. And there has been a bit of an uptick
mm-hmm.
in spiritual kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, witches, even vampires,
yeah.
Supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there is a curiosity about it.
Yeah.
Maybe because of the lack.
Yeah.
And then, you know, now there's more multiculturalism mm-hmm. happening in our world. So
right.
then you're hanging out with your Indian friends or mm-hmm. your native friends or your Asian friends who come from some of these other places where the spiritism and connection to the spirit world is a little more real.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly all these young people who are now connected to all these people are kind of going, And there's maybe a bit of an uptick in interest in it,
mm-hmm.
which may or may not be good.
Right.
You know, especially when Hollywood does anything,
it's right.
usually overdone and underthought,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Definitely. Kind of right.
Yeah. So I wonder if maybe down the road, there may be more connection to the spirit realm.
Mm-hmm.
But as it is, I would totally agree mm-hmm. with you, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one thing I would agree, we're seeing like an uptick in it, even in things that are, you know, have a history in even the occult
yeah.
that have kind of been brought into our modern reality with, you know, simply a removing of the labels
right.
of the occult.
Sure.
So different practices that are embraced by Western culture mm-hmm. that are have history and roots in the occult, but they've just simply, you know, almost whitewash them. Yeah. Same practice.
Mainstream them.
Yeah, that's yeah. a good way to put it.
Mm. Definitely there's that.
Mm-hmm. For
sure. Yeah. And I think, I actually think there's some good to it, but I also think obviously it can really mess up people.
Yeah.
Right. Because mm-hmm. they have no truth.
That's right.
To ground anything in.
Yeah.
It's all just kind of out mm-hmm. there. It's like one of my professors said, feet firmly planted in midair.
Yeah.
That's how it feels sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
mm-hmm.
I thought that was a good description of this whole topic.
Right.
So as you were studying it and as mm-hmm. you know, you were awakened maybe to some more of this whole understanding mm-hmm. of the spiritual world, and you took us there on Sunday morning, you led us into this idea that the scripture like creates this dynamic where the spirit realm is not distant.
Mm-hmm.
It's not far away. I think you said
right.
like the future.
Right.
It's actually here now.
Mm-hmm.
And so how did you wrestle that, or how did you come
yeah.
through that in terms of your study?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as we just look at this passage in front of us this past Sunday, Ephesians 6, 10 to 18, we
yeah.
look at that there is a struggle, and it's easy to gloss over because it's quick.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a ton of space that Paul uses to describe this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can even put this up to the fact that probably believers back in first century culture were more aware of the spiritual realities around
Agreed.
Them. Yeah. So there wasn't a need for much of an explanation.
Right.
But there's a statement, it's against the principalities, the authorities of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't flesh and blood.
Yeah.
And so as you hold on to both of those things, you have to accept there is something going on that we can't see.
Mm-hmm.
There is something that's happening that we are struggling with. And if we're not actively struggling, then we're losing because we aren't actually fighting against it.
Right, right.
There is this struggle that exists, and it's a struggle against things that aren't flesh and blood.
Mm.
And I think this is what can hurt a lot of people. And I think for me, what wasn't detrimental to my faith by any means, but yeah. hindered me was not seeing that struggle,
mm-hmm.
Not recognizing that struggle. And so when you look at starting in the very beginning, okay, who's it, the, you know, spiritual beings that are evil? Well, the devil, that's
yeah.
the obvious one, and
right.
demons. And so you start tracing the history, you start seeing where, you know, like Isaiah and Ezekiel prophetically speak of this being who was perfect and mm-hmm. A cherub, like the right hand of God,
mm-hmm.
But was cast out because of pride. And we see him show up in tempting Adam and Eve. And then throughout the Old Testament, that the false gods were in fact demons who were drawing people away from God.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that was huge.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing that, you know, worship of false gods was in fact worship of the demonic. Mm-hmm. And so many times, I know even I've connected, okay, we don't in our Western world see people having a golden idol in their house, but the things that we idolize are still there, mm-hmm. whether it's money, sex, drugs, alcohol, whatever it is, mm-hmm. in those idols hides the demonic.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it would be stretching it too far to say that there are, you know, the idols of today, which are money, success, worldly success, are in fact demonic forces and demonic authorities
yeah.
that are drawing humans away from the worship of God. Mm-hmm. And so as we look at that, we, I think as believers, have to recognize this isn't simply a battle against fleshy desires. You know, that's a battle in and of itself. Yeah. We talk about in James,
yeah.
Sin begins in the heart.
Right.
But along with that, there is this spiritual war going on, these spiritual beings that are attempting to pull us in the direction of our sinful desires, mm-hmm. that are more than willing, more than ready to feed lies into our hearts and our minds, mm-hmm. that would draw us into those evil desires.
No, I thought you did a good job of that, especially when you said, you know, like the word of God is the truth that we stand on. Mm-hmm. It's the measure.
That's right.
So how do I know I'm being lied to? Well, I have to go to the scripture
mm-hmm.
and I have to be told from scripture what is yeah. truth mm-hmm. so that I can now have a counterweight.
That's right.
That I don't just have to believe everything that's told me that's yeah. in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Satan can't read your mind, but he can whisper in your ear.
That's right.
And so you're looking at this idea that you have believed a lie, and if you believe a lie, it becomes the truth to you.
Mm-hmm.
So then you act out on that.
That's right.
And it actually creates its own snare. You're mm-hmm. making it into a snare. You're now caught.
That's right.
And the only way out is truth. Mm-hmm. And I think you mentioned it, knowing truth, but there's that whole passage there where he talks about, if you obey me, then you'll know it's true.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, even by faith, say, okay, Jesus has said I have to do this, or I have to think this way, or be this way,
right.
or act this way.
Yeah.
And I act out in that way, then I know it's the truth that he told mm-hmm. me, and that truth now sets me free.
That's right.
And there's yeah. a sort of process that you work yeah, through.
Definitely.
Because the lie, the deceiver, and that is probably, I do agree with a lot of people think that that's his greatest power.
Yeah.
And I would agree.
Definitely.
He can really mess your life up
mm-hmm.
because he whispers.
That's right.
You know, and that's apart from being oppressed or even possessed, you know, if you're not
right.
a believer,
yeah.
you know, possessed by mm-hmm. demons or many demons.
Right.
And at the very least oppressed in the Christian sense, mm-hmm. because I believe we belong to God once we're saved.
Right.
But we can still open the door a crack.
Yeah, definitely.
And he can still have yeah. a place of operation, which mm-hmm. is oppression.
That's right.
And so to me, I thought that was really well handled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, and I think knowing that Satan's, you know, when I read, you know, the flaming arrows of the evil one,
yeah.
I think of his lies.
Yeah.
That's immediately what comes yep. to my mind, is the lies that he shoots at us. And it's so easy to believe those lies and get caught up in those lies and believe lies that we have believed since we were kids,
yeah.
that were planted there through trauma, through maybe not even something so traumatic, but yeah. just lies. And I've experienced this and had to walk through this of recognizing, what lies am I believing?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's good practice for believers to do that on a regular basis. Are there lies that I'm believing?
Yeah.
Are there lies that I'm believing that go against the promises of God, that go against my identity in Christ?
Yeah.
Because lies such as, I'm not good enough, or I've messed up too many times, Jesus, you know, or I have to make up for, you know, the wrong that I've done, and I need to do so much good to make up for that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are easy lies that can sound good,
mm-hmm.
but when we dive into them, we recognize those are completely against what Christ says about who I am.
Yeah.
And we need to be quick to renounce those, because again, those, when we believe Satan's lies, we give him that opportunity to oppress us,
yeah.
to gain that foothold in our life.
Yeah, very true. And the results are, like, you can see them
yeah.
easily, hey?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think part even of a counseling or pastoral ministry where
right.
you're helping people understand the scripture,
yeah.
the question, why do you think that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, where did that come from?
Yeah.
And when you say it out loud and you bring it into the light.
That's right.
Because what that's kind of what happens. It comes from the sort of the darkness of your mind.
Yeah.
And you say it out into the light of Jesus.
Yeah.
Then suddenly you begin to realize, what? You're right.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Why would I believe it's not true? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm dearly loved, child of God, adopted, and all that good stuff. But I never, ever think it out loud or I never even say it out loud.
Right.
Instead, it runs around inside my brain, trampling me constantly, pushing me down, keeping me under its control or its oppressive way of leading my life. And it's true. I agree with you 100%. You do have to stop and say, why? Mm-hmm. Why am I thinking this?
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
What have I agreed to now? You know, that,
that's right.
That I think is right, but actually it's not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's the trickery. Those are those flaming darts. That's right. Right.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think we see this in addiction a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's an addiction to drugs, to alcohol, pornography, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So many times the root of those things are found in lies.
Mm-hmm.
And if we simply look at the surface, if we simply look at the outward manifestation of those things, we miss what is actually going on here. And in reality, it's these lies that are keeping you in bondage to where you're going through the cycle of sin that you're trying to stop. But again, it's this cycle of lies that you can't get out of because you haven't gone to the root of it.
Mm-hmm. And they can pile up pretty quick.
Oh, definitely.
Like you can start believing lie after lie after lie.
Yeah.
And I think you're right because he's basically telling us here, be on your guard.
Yeah.
Get your armor on, realize you're in a battle.
Right.
It's not against people.
Yeah.
It's really about you and inside of you and inside the spiritual fight that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no room then for a sort of lackadaisical Christianity.
No.
I mean, you can have it and you can live it, but how do you safeguard from wandering down pathways that root themselves in a lie that sounds really good?
Yeah.
And you would never suspect it was a lie until you actually stopped, thought about it, brought it into the light of Scripture, and then realized, oh, it is a lie.
Yeah.
If you don't, if you live your Christian life out in a lackadaisical way, then that can be the result.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And I wonder if maybe even people who've drifted away from the Lord or drifted away from being a part of the fellowship, if they've believed enough lies, they pile on, pile on, pile on, that they don't even know where to get to the roots of things anymore because they're not contemplative. They don't stop, think, pray, examine, read, study Scripture, go for help.
Yeah.
You know, go see a pastor, go see an elder, go see someone you trust that's a long-term Christian, healthy Christian. And I think we do ourselves damage because we decide to coast through our Christian experience.
Right.
And I know I've been saying this a lot lately, it seems like.
Yeah.
COVID is bad.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Mm-hmm.
But there is good coming out of it.
That's right.
And I wonder if one of the goods is that people are starting to wake up a little bit more and realizing, you know, there's more to the Christian life than just going to church.
Yeah.
Like I said in my staffing this morning. Show me a passage or a scripture where it says, you know, Jesus said, go to church.
Right.
It's just a foreign concept. That's gathering, yes, for the emphasis of strength and getting out there into mission.
Definitely.
But it seems like gathering has become the focus.
Right.
Instead
it's
of
merely mission. One part of.
Yeah, really. And an important part, a lovely part.
Right, definitely. I
mean, obviously, I'm a pastor.
So right.
You're a pastor. We believe in gathering.
Definitely.
Yeah. But at the same time, not to the exclusion of what actually needs to be going on.
Mm-hmm.
Being church is far more important than going to church.
That's right. Yeah.
Because otherwise you get stuck in a rut and you start thinking that's Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
I make sure I'm there on Sunday.
Right.
I make sure I give some money. I make sure I help with kids ministry or do something in the community.
Right.
And that becomes your Christianity.
Yeah.
And I think we rob ourselves of the depth of it, of the health of it, of how it's supposed to affect us on a regular daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking earlier a little bit. I had coffee or breakfast this morning, and we chatted about this.
Mm-hmm.
And that is if you come from a culture where it isn't talked about, like the culture that you grew up with, where it was kind of like devil bad, God good, enough said. Whereas I, if I was to express my upbringing, I think we were much more ready to see. So the way my parents, the way my family operated their Christian faith, the spiritual realm was never too far away from conversation. It was never far from the lips. And I loved it because it was healthy.
I
remember like times when, you know, out of the blue, my dad or my uncle or somebody in our family would say, you know, that could be a spiritual problem. And it was never like, even if we had to deal with demonic, which we did in our home, it was never like unusual. It was kind of like, this is normal. You know, spiritual things are normal. Don't get all panicky. Don't get all freaked out. It's just normal. If a demonic force reveals itself, we pray, we trust Jesus, we expose it to light, it's gone, it's history. We have full control in Christ over these things. So don't worry, don't panic. And so that was kind of my upbringing, at least that I remember anyway, especially with my uncle who was very involved in deliverance style ministries. And it was like bread and butter. You never think too far away from the fact, well, maybe there is a spiritual dynamic to your problem. And we talk about it. You bring it into the light. And I'm really thankful for my upbringing because of that, because I really do believe that it has helped me significantly in my ministry. As I look back over the years, even as a rookie pastor guy, you know, coming across these guys that really were being influenced by demonic forces and not... And finding myself not comfortable, obviously, I'm not saying
no,
but not panicking either.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we got to deal with this kind of feel to it. You know, I don't want to deal with this, but I'm going to. Bring it out of the light and let the power of Christ obliterate the power of the enemy.
That's right.
Especially the lie.
Yeah. Because we can also go to the other extreme of seeing the devil behind every rock, seeing a demon behind every situation, or, you know, giving him more power and authority than he actually has, which you watch Hollywood. That's what it does.
Way more, right? In fact, that could be one of the reasons why even this instruction is simple and straightforward. He only mentions the demonic in a couple of verses. The rest of it is about how to deal with it.
That's right.
So, the focus, no, but there, definitely.
I mean, you even look at Jesus's ministry. You know, people automatically think, oh, the demoniac, the guy that had a legion of demons. Was once. He encountered the demonic in other situations, but with other ones, it was, you know, one was a boy that it threw him in fire. Well, he cast it out. Another one, you know. And so you see it, and it's, again, you know, it isn't this fantastical, crazy experience. You know, that definitely happens. There was that demoniac with 1,000 demons. And that does happen in our world. But I think the majority of time, it's a lot more subtle. Because I think if, I mean, the enemy is cunning and he's deceitful. And he wants to stay in the background. He wants you to think that he's not there. And so he's going to just do barely enough to convince you. He's not gonna come out in your face, because then you see him and you know him. And so he's in the background.
It sounds like the Screw Tape Letters. Have you read that?
Not the whole thing.
C.S. Lewis? That, it sounds like what you're saying there is you could almost go to quote it from the passages where it's all the subtle stuff. All the things, the string that gets pulled quietly pull that string. And suddenly that person's world is starting to turn upside down. And that's all it took. Instead of coming with big guns and, you know, then our defenses are up. Whereas if it's subtle, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, in our Western world, it's so many subtle things. And that's why I think the challenge is be on guard. Recognize the struggle. You know, one that for me that hit home that I'd never really grasped before was a feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel. Always thought, so you know the gospel? And never really dove into that. And this past week, really reading about it and hearing, you know, different commentators and that readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. So readiness, and it's your feet. Ready to move your feet. And you know, you were mentioning just a little bit ago, you know, that we can get into that comfortable mm-hmm. mentality as a Christian. We go to church on Sundays and we've done our duty and that's good. Mm-hmm. We've done what we need to do, mm-hmm. but our feet aren't ready to move. Mm-hmm. Our feet aren't ready to respond to gospel opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, being willing to let go of things, let go of our comfort for the sake of the gospel.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those subtle lies. You can have a comfortable life and follow Jesus.
Yeah.
I think that's, because that sounds good.
Sure it does.
Makes you feel good.
Screwtape letters. That's right? Exactly what he says.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd make his life easy.
Right.
And then suddenly comfort comes.
Yeah.
And now, well, yes, I believe in Jesus. And yes, mm-hmm. I believe in God. And yeah, I go to church.
That's right.
Sometimes.
Yeah. You know.
So therefore, it's all good. But
yeah.
And they've got like these little lies that are told.
That's right.
Have actually handcuffed your abilities, even your spiritual gifts.
That's right.
Because you have allowed that to take place mm-hmm. through a lie.
Right. Definitely.
Comfort. Ease.
Yeah.
I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be involved in that. I don't need to, you know, express my faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, you do.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, and again, Satan knows scriptures. He likes to twist it.
Yeah.
Even like what we've talked about today, you know, we don't go to church. We are the church.
We are
you
the
know?
Church.
And so Satan can even use that.
Wherever we go, we are the church.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Satan can use that. Well, you don't need to go to church right. to be the church. Sure. You can be the church on your own.
Yes. Separate. And
twist. Yeah. Separate.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah, you need fellowship.
There's fellowship.
Very important.
There's a community. You are the, we are the church together.
Yeah. True enough. Yeah. Mm. Good truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I walked away Sunday morning thinking, you know, it's always good to be reminded that we are in a battle.
Yeah.
Because I think it's much easier to forget that we are
mm-hmm.
given our culture.
Yeah.
Right. Given who we are, how we go about our daily lives, how we structure ourselves.
Yeah.
Even our culture in that sense, mm-hmm. like the Canadian culture.
Yeah.
Very much you can easily forget this is something we need to do.
Right.
Even walking out of church, I thought, you know, there's a situation. I immediately started thinking, I wonder if we should start praying that the armor of God gets put on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we did cover that in the message.
That's right.
Putting
yeah.
on the armor. You mentioned that's right. the feet shod with
right.
the readiness of the gospel
yeah.
of peace. And then there is the sword,
right.
which is not only a defensive weapon. It is mm-hmm. an aggressive weapon.
Right.
It's the word of God.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like being prepared to minister as an ambassador of Christ.
That's
as,
right.
As someone who is a witness to him.
Yeah.
I think too often it's easy to forget about. And then I was thinking, you know, we should probably start praying that the armor of God gets put on that child. And mm-hmm. because as parents, I think we can dress our kids in the armor of God because they don't know how to do it. So
right.
they didn't even have to dress themselves.
And, right. Yeah. Like they're under our authority as parents.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think even as grandparents,
yeah.
In the case I was thinking of was happened to be a grandparent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, you know, it would be good to say, why don't you dress this person in armor,
mm-hmm.
the helmet of salvation,
right.
right? Which is hope.
Yeah.
I liked how you connected the dots there with mm-hmm. Isaiah. The breastplate of righteousness and righteous living keeps us safe.
Yeah.
You know, that's why the Ten Commandments are there.
Right.
Not because God wanted to be a, you know,
right.
pressure and to control or heavily right. control our lives.
Yeah.
It's because he knows that these are right and good and mm-hmm. therefore healthy and helpful.
Yeah.
And you can have a good life.
Mm-hmm.
So breastplate of right, belt of truth, you know, the, oh man, ties it all together.
Yeah.
It brings everything around mm-hmm. your waist, you
yeah.
know, and your sword can hang off of there and you're ready for battle.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you get caught with your pants down because you're
right. you know? Oh, yeah.
So, you know, these things, I think we can mm-hmm. pray them on. I remember
right.
in one service after I talked about this, a lady came forward for prayer. She said, I'm so weak. I'm struggling so much. I can't even put the armor on, you mm-hmm. know, like it was about the same time.
Yeah.
And so we called a few elders together.
Yeah.
We gathered around her. And we placed the armor on her by prayer. We said, okay, I mm-hmm. pray for this woman.
Yeah.
Lord, I pray the helmet of salvation, the helmet of hope to be yeah. put on her head. And we just went through all of that. And when we were finished, she stood up like a mighty warrior. She was ready.
Yeah.
And before she was downcast or
yeah.
she just needed strength. And she needed a couple of people like Aaron and who was under Moses's hand? Who was the other?
Right.
Aaron and her.
Her, yeah. Holding HR, up his
hands.
Yeah.
Holding up his hands.
That's like, right.
That's what she needed.
Yeah.
And so we went to war and we put that on her and she felt so much stronger after one of those moments.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how we can come alongside other believers. Again, this isn't done in isolation. This isn't done by ourselves. And so we can trust those who are in this with us.
Yeah.
We're a part of an army. Yeah. We aren't a single standalone soldier.
And that's where he went at the end, right?
Yeah.
He said, pray on all occasions.
Right. For all the saints.
With all kinds of prayers.
All kinds of prayers.
For all the saints.
Yeah.
Because we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Which is where we're going this coming Sunday.
Yeah.
To wrap up. A fantastic journey.
Yes.
The book of Ephesians. You know, the shape of fellowship, of
real
true fellowship.
What that really means. It goes far beyond simply a Sunday luncheon.
Right. Or a Sunday come and sit in a pew.
Right.
Or a chair in our case.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's where we're heading. And I think it nicely ties that all together because we don't do this alone.
No, that's right. All right. Amen.
Yeah.
One more week in Ephesians and we are off on another race.
Yep, that's right. You bet. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.